I like the old Fort Stockton area, he said.
You think they were there?
He was quiet again, another whole mile. Not there, but nearby. Think about it from their point of view.
I can't. I'm not like them.
So pretend. What were they?
I don't know.
They were professionals, quiet and unobtrusive, like chameleons, instinctively good at camouflage, good at not being noticed. Put yourself in their shoes, Alice.
I can't,
she said again. Think like them. Imagine. Get into it. Who are they? I saw them and thought they were a sales team. Rusty Greer thought they were social workers. Apparently, Al Eugene thought they were FBI agents. So think like them. Be them. Your strength is you look very normal and very ordinary. You're white, and you look very middle class, and you've got this Crown Victoria, which, when it's not all tricked up with radio antennas, looks like an ordinary family sedan. The FBI con helped, but basically, you looked harmless enough that Al Eugene felt safe to stop for you, but also somehow commanding enough that he also had to, wanted to. So you're ordinary, but you're respectable and plausible and businesslike.
Okay.
But now you get a kid with you. So what are you now?
What?
Now you're a normal, ordinary, respectable, plausible, middle-class family.
But there were three of them.
He was quiet a beat, kept his eyes closed. One of the men was an uncle, he said. You're a middle-class family on vacation together in your sedan, but you're not a loud Disneyland type of family. You're not in shorts and brightly colored T-shirts. You look quiet. Maybe a little earnest, maybe a little nerdy, or maybe a little studious. Maybe you look like a school principal's family, or an accountant's. You're obviously from out of state, so you're traveling. Where to? Ask yourself the same question they must have asked themselves. Where will you blend in? Where's the safest place around here? Where would an earnest, studious, middle-class family go with their 6.5-year-old daughter? Where's a proper, enlightening, educational kind of a place to take her, even though she's way too young and doesn't care, even though people laugh behind your back at how politically correct and cloyingly diligent you are?
Old Fort Stockton,
Alice said. Exactly. You show the kid the glorious history of the African-American soldiers, even though you'd have a heart attack if she grew up and wanted to date one. But you're driving a Ford, not a BMW or a Cadillac. You're sensible, which means not rich, basically. Careful about your expenditure. You resent overpaying for something. Motels, just as much as cars. So you drive in from the north and you stay at a place far enough out to be reasonable. Not the dumps in the middle of nowhere, but on the first distant fringes of the Fort Stockton tourist area, where the value is good. He opened his eyes. That's where you would stay, Alice.
It is?
He nodded. A place where they get plenty of earnest, striving, not rich, middle-class families on vacation. The sort of place that gets recommended in boring AAA magazines. A place where you fit right in. A place with lots of people exactly like you. A place where you won't stand out in anybody's memory for a second. And a place where you're only 30, 35 minutes from Pecos by a fast road. Alice shrugged and nodded all at the same time.
Good theory, I guess. Good logic. Question is, were they following the same logic?
I hope so, because we don't have time for a big search. I don't think we have much time for anything. I'm getting a bad feeling. I think she's in real danger now. Alice said nothing. Maybe the others were supposed to call in regularly, he said. Maybe this third guy is about to panic.
So it's a hell of a gamble.
He said nothing.
Do the math, she said. A 45-mile radius gives you a circle over 6,000 square miles in area, and you want to pick one tiny pinpoint out of it?
He was quiet again, another mile. Roll the dice, Reacher, he thought. I think they were pretty smart and careful, he said, and their priorities were pretty obvious. They were looking at the same maps we are, so I think that's how they'd have done it.
But are you sure?
He shrugged. Can't ever be sure. But that's how I'd have done it. That's the trick, Alice. Think like them. Never fails.
Never?
He shrugged. sometimes. The sleeping crossroads hamlet was dead ahead. The school, the gas station, the diner. Pecos, straight on, old Fort Stockton to the right.
Well?
She asked. He said nothing.
Well?
She asked again. He stared through the windshield.
Decision?
She said. He said nothing. She braked hard and skidded a yard on the soaked road and came to a complete halt right on the melted stop line.
Well?
Roll the damn dice, Reacher. Make the turn, he said. The driver decided to take a shower first. An excusable delay. He had time. The room was locked. The child was fast asleep. He stripped off his clothes and folded them neatly and placed them on his chair, stepped into the bathroom, pulled the shower curtain and set the water running. Then he unwrapped a new bar of soap. He liked motel soaps. He liked the crisp paper packets and the smell when you opened them. It bloomed out at you, clean and strong. He sniffed the shampoo. It was in a tiny plastic bottle. It smelled of strawberries. He read the label. Conditioning shampoo, it said. He leaned in and placed the soap in the porcelain receptacle and balanced the shampoo on the rim of the tub, pushed the curtain aside with his forearm, and stepped into the torrent. The road northeast out of Echo was narrow and winding and clung to a hilly ridge that followed the course of the Cayenosa Draw. Now the big ford was no longer ideal. It felt oversized and soft and ungainly. The blacktop was running with water flowing right to left across its surface. Heavy rills were pushing mud and grit over it in fan-shaped patterns. Alice was struggling to maintain 40 miles an hour. She wasn't talking, just hauling the wallowing sedan around an endless series of bends and looking pale under her tan, like she was cold. "You okay?" he asked.
"Are you?"
"Why wouldn't I be?"
"You just killed two people. Then saw a third die and a house burn down."
He glanced away. Civilians, he thought. "Water under the bridge," he said. "No use dwelling on it now."
"Oh, that's a hell of an answer."
"Why?"
"Doesn't stuff like that affect you at all?"
"I'm sorry I didn't get to ask them any questions."
"Is that all you're sorry for?"
He was quiet for a second. "Tell me about that house you're renting," he said.
"What's that got to do with anything?"
"My guess is it's a short-term kind of a place. People in and out all the time, not very well maintained. My guess is it was kind of dirty when you moved in."
"So?"
"Am I right?" She nodded at the wheel.
"I spent the first week cleaning."
"Grease on the stove, sticky floors?"
"Yes."
"Bugs in the closets?" She nodded again. "Roaches in the kitchen?"
"A colony. Big ones."
"And you got rid of them?"
"Of course I did."
"How?"
"Poison."
"So tell me how you felt about that." She glanced sideways.
"You comparing those people to cockroaches?"
He shook his head. "Not really. I like cockroaches better. They're just little packets of DNA scuttling around doing what they have to do. Walker and his buddies didn't have to do what they did. They had a choice. They could have been upstanding human beings, but they chose not to be. Then they chose to mess with me, which was the final straw, and they got what they got. So I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. I'm not even going to give it another thought. And if you do, I think you're wrong." She was quiet for another twisting mile.
"You're a hard man, Reacher,"
she said. He was quiet in turn. "I think I'm a realistic man," he said. "And a decent enough guy, all told."
"You may find normal people don't agree."
He nodded. "A lot of you don't," he said. He stood in the warm water long enough to soak all over, and then he started on his hair. He lathered the shampoo into a rich halo and worked on his scalp with his fingertips. Then he rinsed his hands and soaped his face, his neck, behind his ears. He closed his eyes and let the water sluice down over his body, used more shampoo on his chest where the hair was thick, attended to his underarms and his back and his legs. Then he washed his hands and his forearms very thoroughly and carefully, like he was a surgeon preparing for a procedure.
"How far now?"
Alice asked. Reacher calculated from the map. 25 miles. We cross I-10 and head north on 285 toward Pecos.
But the ruins are on the other road, the one up to Monahan's.
Trust me, Alice, they stayed on 285. They wanted access. She said nothing. We need a plan, Reacher said.
For taking this guy? I wouldn't have a clue.
No, for later, for getting Carmen back.
You're awfully confident?
No point going in expecting to lose. She braked hard for a corner, and the front end washed wide. Then the road straightened for 100 yards, and she accelerated like she was grateful for it.
Habeas corpus, she said. We'll go to a federal judge and enter an emergency motion. Tell the whole story.
Will that work?
It's exactly what habeas corpus is for. It's been working for 800 years. No reason it won't work this time.
Okay, he said.
One thing, though.
What?
We'll need testimony, so you'll have to keep this one alive, if that's not too much to ask.
He finished washing and just stood there in the warm stream of water. He let it flow over his body. He had a new thought in his head. He would need money. The others weren't coming back. The killing crew was history. He knew that. He was unemployed again. And he was unhappy about that. He wasn't a leader. He wasn't good at going out and creating things for himself. Teamwork had suited him just fine. Now he was back on his own. He had some money stashed under his mattress at home, but it wasn't a whole lot. He'd need more, and he'd need it pretty damn soon. He turned around in the stall and tilted his head back and let the water wash his hair flat against his scalp. So maybe he should take the kid with him back to L.A. Sell her there. He knew people. People who facilitated adoptions, or facilitated other stuff he wouldn't want to inquire too closely about. She was, what, 6 1/2? And white? Worth a lot of money to somebody, especially with all that fair hair. Blue eyes would have added an extra couple of grand. But whatever. She was a cute little package as she was. She might fetch a decent price from people he knew. But how to get her there? The Crown Vic was gone, but he could rent another car. Not like he hadn't done that plenty of times before. He could call Pecos or Fort Stockton and get one brought down first thing in the morning.
This is the end of Side 1. This program is continued on Side 2 of this cassette.
The Crown Vic was gone, but he could rent another car. Not like he hadn't done that plenty of times before. He could call Pecos or Fort Stockton and get one brought down first thing in the morning. He had no end of phony paperwork. But that would mean some delivery driver would see his face. And the kids. No. He could hide her in the woman's empty room and bring the rental guy into his. But it was still a risk. Or he could steal the car. Not like he hadn't done that before either, long ago in his youth. He could steal one right out of the motel parking lot. He eased the shower curtain aside and leaned out for a second and checked his watch, which was resting on the vanity. 4:30 in the morning. They could be on the road by 5. 2 hours minimum before some citizen came out of his room and found his car gone. They would be 100 miles away by then. And he had spare plates. The California issue from the original LAX rental, and the Texas issue that had come off the Crown Vic. He got back under the shower and straightened the curtain again. His decision was made. If there was a white sedan out there, he would take it. Sedans were the most common shape in the Southwest, and white was the most common color because of the sun. And he could keep the kid in the trunk. No problem. A Corolla would be best. Maybe a couple of years old, very generic, easily confused with the Geo Prism, or a dozen other cheap imports. Even traffic cops had a hard time recognizing Corollas. He could drive it all the way home. He could sell it, too, as well as the kid, make a little more money. He nodded to himself, smiled, and raised his arms to rinse again. 10 miles south and west of Fort Stockton itself, the road curved to the right and switched back over the top of the ridge then fell away down the far slope and ran parallel to the big canyon draw for a spell. Then it leveled out and speared straight for the I-10 interchange, which was represented on the map like a spider, with 8 roads all coming together in one place. The northwest leg was Route 285 to Pecos, which showed up on paper as a 90-degree left turn. Then there were maybe 20 miles of it between the Fort Stockton city limit and a highway bridge that recrossed the Cayonosa Draw. "That's the target area," Reacher said. "Somewhere in those 20 miles. We'll drive north to the bridge and turn around and come back south. See it like they saw it."